This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Psalm 32. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word to us, fill us with your Spirit, so that we may in wisdom confess our sins to you and be forgiven in Jesus' name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Not long ago I heard a story from an American Lutheran pastor and his ministry. And here's how I remember the story. A parishioner came to him for private confession and absolution. So the pastor sat down with him. And for 1 hour, this parishioner, with great sensitivity of conscience and deep spiritual insight, confessed the sins of his wife. At the end of the time, what could the pastor say? I forgive the sins of your wife in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Because we find it very easy to confess the sins of other people. But without the Holy Spirit, without God's help, we'll shut our mouths when it comes to our own sins. This is sad, and it's spiritual folly. Because in today's psalm we hear that the distinction between the righteous and the wicked is not the distinction between those who do sin and those who don't. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The distinction is that the righteous confess their sins and the wicked will not. Well, today God's word brings us great good news, so that we may be free to live as wise people who willingly come near to God and receive all the blessings that God has to give. Have you crossed the line with God? Do you know that you've done this? Don't be silent. Confess your sins. God is at hand to forgive you. Have you done shameful things in your life? Don't stay away. God is here to give you the cover of his righteousness in Christ Jesus. Have you racked up a debt that you possibly cannot pay to God? Listen to the word of the Lord. God pays our debts. Listen to the word of the Lord. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Happy are they. This word could be used, it's a word which is used in Psalm 1, by the way, and a Greek version is used at the beginning and throughout the Sermon on the Mount, especially in the Beatitudes, is a word that could be used especially in the classroom. Let's say you have a student who's beginning to get it. They start to understand the lesson. You're teaching. You might say to them, blessed are you, happy are you. You are beginning to get what this lesson is about. You are beginning to understand what I am teaching. As we, as God's righteous people, have our sins forgiven, have our shame covered, we are learning spiritual wisdom. We are learning who God is. We start to get it, what it's about to live in God's household. Now, it wasn't always the case for the psalmist. This is what the psalmist then goes on to say. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. There's great cost to silence, and it's portrayed here in vivid imagery. Someone with an emaciated body, groaning, wasting away. We think of things withering and drying up in the heat of summer. Silence has consequences. Let's think of someone with an addiction. Someone, for example, addicted to alcohol, or someone addicted to gambling. This has great consequences, right? It can destroy their body. It destroys their outward circumstances. It destroys their relationships. It can take them straight to death. And yet we know that often people in this situation refuse to name what's going on. They remain silent about their addiction. Why is that? When the consequences are so obvious that everyone can see them, why is there silence? Why do we, all of us, so naturally remain silent about our sin? Why don't we just admit what's going on and confess? Well, let's think about some options today. Four reasons, perhaps, we might remain silent. And this is by no means an exhaustive list. Here's one reason. As human beings, we need joy in life. Do you want to live a life bereft of any joy? Let's say we know, at least we think we know, that drinking heavily gives us joy. Why would we admit that as a sin and give that up? Why would we let God in and take that away from us? God's less a source of joy than drinking heavily. We won't speak up because we don't want to lose our joy. We could use the same rationale with things like pornography or gossip, these sorts of things. These are sources of joy. If we name them as sins, God will take them away from us. And then, where will there be joy in life? So one reason it seems to me that we stay silent, even when the consequences of our sin are overtaking us, is that we don't want to lose what seems to be our source of joy. We think that God will be less, that God is in fact stingy when it comes to joy, a divine killjoy, in fact. Here's another reason we might remain silent about specific sins. It might be that if we name one sin, it might open us up to have to think about other realities in our lives. As human beings, we can spend a lot of mental energy, psychological strength, pushing down things we don't want to have to think about. What happens if we name one? What will come in following it? What will we have to deal with if we start confessing our sins? Surely we don't have the strength, the psychological, the mental strength to have to deal with that. It's better just to stay silent. Isn't it easy, by the way, to sympathise with this way of thinking? Isn't it easy to sympathise with someone who doesn't want to let go of what they think is their source of joy? We're human beings. We know what this is like. We sympathise because we know. Okay, here's a third reason. We can think, why confess? There's just no point. I'm trapped. I'll always be trapped. This is how my life will be until I die. And if it hastens my death, so be it. Why humiliate myself by having to name sins when there's nothing that can be done about it? We can sympathise with this, right? We know what it's like, feeling helpless in relation to sin. It's a reason, I think, why people often remain silent about their sin. They feel so helpless, and if the only result is to be ashamed, what good is there in that? And a fourth and last reason for today, although there are many more. It could be that we think we deserve punishment. We're the sort of people who deserve to be punished. And so we take our punishment into our own hands. And we punish ourselves by our sinful behaviour. Why admit that it's sinful when the point is we're punishing ourselves? I think this explains a lot of human behaviour. People carry guilt, carry shame. They feel defiled. They feel worthless. They feel they deserve nothing but judgment. They take it upon themselves. Perhaps you have felt this way. A great novelist like Dostoevsky deals with this regularly in his novels. It's a known human experience, and it drives us to death. It drives us to death because it drives us to silence, not to admit that we've sinned, not to ask God's help. Maybe today, this is where you are. Maybe you're being silent. Maybe there's silence in your life. If so, I, as your pastor, understand. Your fellow parishioners understand and love you. But in the Lord's name, in Jesus' name, speak. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. He's here. He will hear you. He will not take away your joy. He will not humiliate you. He will not leave you in despair. And he will save you from death. The psalmist took the path of the righteous, the path that we here take by virtue of our baptism into Christ. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Those last two lines, do you recognize them? We use them every time we celebrate the service with communion, directly before we confess our sins. We enact liturgically, we enact as a body, corporately, together, that our hope is in the name of the Lord, and that we confess our sins because God is at hand to help us, that he's not far away, that he brings order into our lives, into our chaotic lives, and brings us safety as we find our refuge in him. We speak, yes, alone in our hearts to the Lord, but also together as God's righteous people. Righteous not because we have not sinned, but because the Spirit leads us to confess. So the psalmist can also write, therefore let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. In the scriptures, the waters are often an image for chaos, for that which takes away order from life, which leads to destruction. Often because of our sins and our silence, chaos rushes into our lives and disorder. But through confession and through forgiveness, God saves us from the rush of mighty waters, brings us to where there is safety, and our safety, the text says, is in God himself. He is our deliverance. Now today we heard from Genesis, the story of the fall. Our first parents, when they sinned, experienced before guilt, shame. And in their shame they tried to cover themselves, but they could not properly cover themselves. And then in their guilt, they tried to hide away. But we know from Scripture that we cannot really hide from God. In Genesis, he searches for them and he clothes them. As Christian people, we do not need to hide from God. On the contrary, through the forgiveness that God gives us, he becomes our hiding place. God himself becomes our refuge. God is your refuge and your strength. In Christ Jesus, you have one who fights on your behalf. So in Christ Jesus, we can come near to God. This is how the psalm goes on. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Naturally, like our first parents, we stay away from God and we hide. But through the proclamation of the gospel, God draws us to himself. Think about how liturgically our invitation to confession goes. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us draw near to God our Father with a true heart. Let us draw near to God our Father with a true heart because we haven't sinned. Let us draw near to God our Father because our lives are in order. Let us draw near to God with a true heart because we have nothing to admit wrong. No, this is not what we say when we come together as God's people. Instead, let us draw near to God our Father with a true heart to confess our sins and ask Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Dear Christian friends, this is the path of holiness. This is the path of wisdom. We cannot provide for ourselves our own joy. We cannot save ourselves from despair. We ourselves cannot take the punishment which we deserve. A champion fights for us, Christ the Lord. The devil himself could not take him down. And where he acts as champion, those who are found in him are found to be victorious, not because of their own righteousness, but the righteousness that God freely gives. And this is why the psalm can end this way. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. The Lord is near to save. Don't look at your fear. It's worse than useless. Don't look at your lack of strength to change. It's worse than useless. Don't look to try and build up your own righteousness. It just won't work. Behold instead the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It is He who grants us peace. So, dear Christian people, baptized people, let's live according to the identity which God has freely given us in baptism and show spiritual wisdom. Show that we are on the right track. Show that we are indeed righteous by admitting our faults. Having God operate on us things that we cannot do for ourselves. And let's let God bring us by His Spirit to our heavenly home where there is joy which has no end.